Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. Bearish days and a sea of red is upon us, and hopefully things pass quick. We expect they'll pass slow. Everybody that listens to the show, that rhymes, I'm welcoming you and welcoming you back. That's off the side, though. I want to just take a moment here. Today's episode is not going to focus very much on news. I'm going to talk about some bits, but I'm not going to focus on news. This is going to be a public service announcement episode. I did an update. It's out of cycle. It's on YouTube. It's on the podcast at CryptoTalk.fm. So you can find it all over, but I did an update on 101, Cryptonomics 101, and it talked about the various scams that are out there and staying safe and the fact they're getting a lot more elaborate with the scams. This is still the case, but something's come to attention to me. I'm pretty sure I'm not wrong in this regard. I said that on another episode that it's an indictment on the business that certain of things keep happening, right? We see that certain things keep happening, and most of the people that fancy themselves YouTubers are not doing a good enough job of educating people. So the reason that I started going back into the 101, and the reason that today's even episode is not going to heavily focus on news, is because I, as a podcaster, try to do my best. I said the whole reason I exist online is to try to help people. And so I try to do things to help people stay safe. There have been people that reached out that said, you know, you kept us safe from the car salesman of Seifu, who, by the way, is back with a Seifu 2.0 garbage project. So, you know, but you kept us safe. I was going to get in that one. You kept me safe there with a fiasco of Libero. You kept me safe here. And the fiasco of Titano, you kept me safe there. So I've had people say, you've kept us safe with your information. And I've done the best I can. But I'm only one person, you know. I can't reach everybody. And I'm not advocating anything. I'm not selling anything. I'm not trying to get you into anything. I just share information I see to try to help keep people safe. And in return, all I've ever asked is just come back and get my credit. If there's something where I was right on something that I called, that's it, you know. And I like to hear from people. People that reach out and say, hey, I appreciate what you do. Or, you know, hey, can you talk about this project here? Or what are your thoughts on this one here? And I'm going to be talking about some of those feedback points in today's episode. So there won't be a lot of news. Separately, I'm going to be making the rounds again because I've been negligent, let's say. I'm going to be making the rounds again. So I'm not on X/Twitter. Screw them. I'm not going to be. Facebook, I basically said screw them because there's a program I have that updates my episodes to various platforms. So I've got all of my episodes synchronized to BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, and previously Facebook and X. X, that playing the games with the Argozy challenge, I'm not doing. Facebook's coming back talking about, hey, this is hidden because of whatever, deep, deep, so I'm not doing that one. It's still there, but I don't go there. And then it synchronizes to Discord. So I need to make the rounds. It seems like a lot of my listener base is on BitChute, and I appreciate you. BitChute's a tricky one because with BitChute, although there's a lot of listeners over there and I like the fact that you're there, BitChute's quality sucks. Like the video quality sucks. I know it's fine for like mobile devices, but I like to give the best quality audio and video that I can do. So I'm not a fan of their restricting the quality without my say so. Same with Odyssey rather. So that's why I haven't been over there like I'd like to be. If you're listening to this and you're on the BitChute side, I would like to hear from you as well. Cryptotalk.fm, hit the contact link and fill out the form and let me know that you're out there and that you appreciate if you're a listener, longtime listener, because we never know, are you coming from, you know, because we're worldwide, we're all over the place. We're iTunes, we're Spotify, we're Listen Notes, I believe is one. GeoSaving, I'm pretty sure it's still out there. Like, I don't even remember every single platform I'm on now. There's too many, but my commitment to you is I'm going to do a better job making the rounds to track where everybody's at, just so I know where you're coming from. Not to you individually, but the population. Where everyone's coming from, so I can make sure that I remain focused in the coverage that keeps you coming back. I would hope that I've stayed the course and been consistent. With that said, let's talk some cryptocurrency real quick here. All right, Coindesk.com. We're going to zoom out to the month chart for Bitcoin because Bitcoin had a slight bit of run-up very recently, and I want to temper your expectations with what I saw. I said that I expected that Bitcoin could go down to about the 50,000 mark. I had somebody on YouTube, and I gave another update to respond to that person, but another person on YouTube saying, we're going up to 57,000. You were wrong with your fear-mongering. And then it crapped right after they posted it. Hours later, it crapped back down to 53. Okay. Right now, as I record this, we're sitting at $60,000. And so you might be wondering, well, what's really happening in the situation? The 60,000 that we see right now is not expected to sustain. It's not expected to. I'm not saying guarantee anything. I'm saying it's not expected to. Part of it's driven off of by the rumor, the Fed rate cut is upon us. We expect it to be. The theory is that the rate cut might be greater than it was initially proposed to be, and a greater rate cut is seen as a positive thing, which is causing some of this upward. The reason I believe that it's temporary and won't hold and won't sustain is that if you look then at Ethereum, as an example, Ethereum is not benefiting at all with what's going on. Bitcoin's up 3%. Okay, that's great. But then you've got Ethereum that's only up 1.7%. How can it be that Ethereum is not strongly benefiting from the upward? And the truth is, Ethereum did go up. It went up from a base of just under $2,300, got almost as high as $2,400, but then it crapped right back down and trending strongly back down to $2,300. Simply means that the velocity was faster on its rise and fall versus Bitcoin, which tells me Bitcoin's going to have a rise and it's just taking a longer time to go down. Do I know that for a fact? No. I'm going off what I'm seeing that I expect it to go back down. Does it go back down to 50? Some say it could. I think it can. I could be wrong, but I think it could. So what is your call to action? To me, it's the same it's always been. The DCA strategy, in my opinion, is the best way to insulate against the disruption that we're currently seeing. That is, when prices are going down, you are buying in. You're buying discounts because you know it's going to go somewhere at some point, someday. I'm hoping you're not YOLOing life savings or something that it has to be money you're living without, you know, money that you can afford to lose. I'm saying that the DCA strategy is the best way to insulate against what's going on if you're going to stay in cryptocurrency. And if you're going to stay in cryptocurrency, Bitcoin is arguably one of the most robust assets that you can invest in compared to all the rest of them, because all the rest of them are not benefiting the same way they would have done before. What does that say? It says that Lyster was telling you the truth for many multiple months about all of the different people on YouTube that screamed at you that we were hitting the bull and we're in the bull and this is the bull run and we're in the bull. And Lyster was the only voice in a crowd telling you, I didn't see a bull run. I saw a bull market, but not a bull run. And then Lyster repeatedly telling you that things look like they're about to go right back down. And Lyster telling you about Poof Hair and FTX sitting on bags of Solana that might cause some drop. And Lyster telling you that there's still more dumping happening. And Lyster telling you that there's all sorts of negative sentiment all over the place. And Lyster telling you that until we get to the election results, we're not going to see significant upward. And even if we do, it's likely not to sustain. See, Lyster's been one of the very select few telling you these things because I was trying to help keep people safe, but also because these were opportunities. Anytime it was going down, it's a buy opportunity. It's a discount. You should treat it as a discount because no matter what happens, things are going to go back up. Whether that's coming from U.S. shores, coming from China, coming from El Salvador, or something else, things are going to go back up. And you can benefit now if you choose to get in now and you're comfortable getting in cryptocurrency, these are opportunities to buy into these things. It's up to you whether you do, But I wanted to position the information so that you could make an informed decision, because that's all I'm here to do, is try to provide information that I think would benefit you. Now, I'm frustrated. Not frustrated. I'm disappointed. Disappointed is a better word to say it. I'm disappointed because there are still, despite my every effort, people out there that don't want to take advantage of the services that I offer. And I've had so many coverages that I've done where it's like, come back and get my credit, because I called that. I called that. I called that. I called that. And I still don't get the just due that I think I deserve. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm trying to help people, and they're not taking advantage of the help. So it's possible. It's possible someone listening to me here right now is a listener, whether past, present, current, future, or potential listener to some of these other YouTubers. Okay. And possibly you found my channel because of them or in spite of them. It's possible that you're here as a dual listener. I know there's a couple of people, like the person that asked me to cover Leica. I think they came from somebody else's channel. The person that asked me to talk about Currency, the rug pull there. I know that person came from Bleez's channel, and so on. There's people that come from other shows out there, and they hear mine and they want to get my thoughts, because, you know, I call it straight, call it like I see it. So I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it to I'm saying it because I'm disappointed in the lack of attention given. But I'm not on X, so I have no idea what's going on that might be exclusive to X, which is why I'm so adamant when you hear me on the show say CryptoTalk.fm, hit the contact link and fill out the form. That's all somebody has to do. When somebody was talking about this Saitama V3, and I said, look, if you want to hit me, man, there's three different ways to reach me. One of those is dead, but the form is still there. The website's still there. You can fill out the form and it comes to my email. But because people run from email, they duck email, they hide from email, they don't like email, they refuse to send an email. I'm not even asking you to have an email app, but you do have to have an email address so that I can reach you back, as real businesses behave. So I've always had that open invitation to anybody that wanted that smoke, is to fill out the form and we can chat it up. And there's some people that I've talked to, whether on a podcast episode or separately, and I've assured I'm here because I want to try to help folks. And look, supposed to be a community. I was told, and again, there may be people who cross blend, and that's cool if the information gets back, because I want the smoke. I've sat back and watched multiple people on YouTube views dwindle, just straight dwindle, people that had sky high views. And then I've seen people switch their way that they do the videos in order to try to stop it and basically bow down to the, you know, get on their knees to YouTube and pull out the jar of Vaseline for YouTube. That's what I see. And I don't like seeing it. It's their channel. You know, they do what you want to do. I don't like people bowing down to YouTube. My stuff replicates to YouTube, but it's a distribution source. I don't promote it. I don't advertise it. I'm not live on it. And when I am getting the studio, which I, by the way, I've got a handyman that's going to help get up some wall stuff set up for the studio that's been delayed. Once I get back on, I'm not going to be live streaming on freaking YouTube. I refuse. I will live stream in our Discord channel because it's my Discord channel. I might consider Twitch again, but these numbnuts close the account and I'm debating whether I want to give them the business. I'll live stream on BitChute probably. I might consider live stream on Rumble. And if Odyssey gets rid of that Libri token as a requirement, I would live stream there. But in the short term, I'm just doing podcasts in my stuff. I control it. I run it. It's my show. I do what I want to do. And nobody tells me how to do it because it's mine, right? I enjoy that. And then my stuff replicates to these different platforms. But I am not so in the, I've never been in the fix about views. I understood that at the time, you know, you take Libero. For the Libero ecosystem, there was a spike of views because there's a lot of people that watched my coverage and they appreciated what I was doing because they knew the devs suck and I was doing their job for them. With the car salesman on Seifu, it's the diehards, and I already understood, look, I'm doing the coverage to try to help you guys out. You don't want to listen, that's cool. So I already knew that these were going to get more traffic than anything else. I accepted it. It's fine. I don't care. There are ones where I do something ages out ago, and then all of a sudden it gets a spike out of nowhere because I happen to talk about it ages out ago. It happens. Like, views will just come for months and months and months, and they just show up, and I am not advocating or promoting the channel. I don't go out and actively promote these things. The only exception to that in terms of active promotion was the Saitama, because at the end of it, I was trying to get more awareness about what was going on with the two rug pulls, the rug pull of Pancake Swap, the rug pull of Uniswap, what's happened with the cult leader, the confirmation bias. You know, I do these and I heavily promote because I'm trying to get the word out. I'm trying to help keep people safe because I realize there's a lot of people that came to my channel from that ecosystem, and I didn't want those people to get their stuff lost, which I expect was going to happen, especially because some of them might have been in Gate.io, and that was a fiasco. I'm told it's been solved, but at the time, it was this whole big thing where people's stuff was actually getting stuck in the freaking exchange, and so I was trying to help them get their stuff out. I wasn't expecting them to stick around for every single thing I covered. I don't care if you only stick around for the Saitama coverage or the Luna Classic coverage. It didn't matter to me. I didn't care. I simply wanted to create a place where I share information of varying kinds that I felt like talking about. And if somebody wanted to come at, I do a response, right? I didn't promote the channel. It's there. It's another medium. It's another way for somebody that wants to listen to it. But the same content is available on 7 different sources because I understand. Not everybody wants to go on YouTube. I certainly don't. I think YouTube is crap. But I understand that some people prefer YouTube for its simplicity and ease of availability, or watching on your YouTube TV or something else. So I understood. But there are YouTubers out there that either because it's their primary job, they want it to be their primary job, or they're just, everybody else is doing it. They're going all in on this business. They're creating fake, annoying looking fucking thumbnails, and they've got all sorts of, like Rodney, his audio volume is too damn loud, and the lights and the flashing stuff that's setting off people that have epilepsy. Like, I don't like that crap. I like just regular down-to-earth chatter. I actually, you know, I'm a fan of Happy Caddy Crypto. I like his stuff. I like listening to what he talks about. You know, he sounds like a more down-to-earth Russell Brand. So, you know, he's got the accent going on for him. He's a cool dude. But he started changing the video where I'm like, I'm not really a fan of it. I like just the down-to-earth that he was before. So Adam Coins. Adam Coins is another one I like to listen to, but his is just too damn short. But I love the way he does his content. I love the way he does his coverage. I love the way he does the analysis. That's what I like. But I'm singular in this regard. I understand. Some people love the drama. Some people love the flashy crap. Some people like to be entertained, right? The entertainment is part of it. It's part of what we all do. I do it. But my entertainment does not devolve into clown show crap, you know, like B-Roots, IMB, you know, I don't do that. I do a basic level of entertainment of the occasional dry humor every now and then, or just straight up schooling somebody. But that's about the extent of what I do. But that's, I'm not a YouTuber. I just know that there are people listening via YouTube, and I've got to do something to keep their interest for the duration of the audio. So I know the game. When I see, though, that so many YouTubers' views are dropping and dwindling, and it doesn't surprise me. It's because YouTube's algorithm biases towards garbage. YouTube's algorithm, and I'm hitting you with the inside game here. YouTube's algorithm biases towards shorts. Shorts are snippets of video designed to compete with TikTok. They're garbage, waste of time. You should be at your job doing your work, but you're not. You're wasting time. Videos of stupid nonsense, usually with a bunch of cut editing crap. That's what shorts are. YouTube biases towards those. YouTube biases towards videos that are short length, less than 5 minutes. YouTube biases towards thumbnails that are garbage. Just so you have a history lesson, there was a time when you couldn't put a custom thumbnail on just YouTube videos without being a serious member. They didn't just let anybody do it like they do now. They've changed. And when they let everybody do it, everybody does it. And then the services that are out there, again, I'm hitting you with the dirt. Services that are out there that say, we'll help you promote your channel. We'll help you market your channel. We'll help you get more impressions. We'll help you get more views. That's the first thing that they tell you. Your thumbnail has to be catchy, and it has to use hyperbole. It has to lie to people. Use arrows. Use you with a shocked face looking up at something. Put a bunch of images that are not relevant to the video. That's what they tell you to do. So everybody's doing it. Guess what? It's the law of saturation. When everybody's doing that, at some point, people are going to start getting sick and tired of that type of content. And they're going to seek out different types of content that doesn't have that content. The problem is that YouTube's algorithm deprioritizes people that are not doing those things, because YouTube's algorithm so far has been trained to favor those that are using fake thumbnails and hyperbole and bullshit on their stuff. So what you've got now is a desperation from a lot of the YouTubers where they see, and I don't know his name, but you know, there's all these ones that are at the upper level, you know, they got over 100,000 subs and they got all this stuff. And what happens? They get like 15,000, 30,000, 50,000. Others look at that and they're like, that's what I want. And so they're desperate. They go, and instead of understanding why they got that large, before YouTube switched up the fucking algorithms. So they already had the tactical advantage. Then all they really had to do was keep doing what they were doing. But I guarantee you, even their views are down. So you're looking at this 15,000 views, not understanding that same person had 50,000 views 2 years ago. Everything's changed. And I look at it and I don't understand the rush to that. Happy Caddy's views are down. Adam Coyne's views are down. Dior's are down. Bleeves's is down. Rodney's is down. Jake's is down. Everybody's is down. So I look at it, and just to clarify for those new, by the way, welcome. You know, I have my own endeavor. I make money not in crypto, not on the podcast. I make money on my own stuff. I own my own business. I run my own stuff. I make a lot of freaking money. That's why I was able to buy the house with 20% down, and it's already a third the way paid off because I make a lot of fucking money. And I just talked to the manager, and she's going to work to get me even more money I didn't ask for. You know, so I'm sitting pretty outside of this. I do this because I enjoy talking to you guys. I do this because I enjoy doing this coverage. I do this because I think I can add value. I do this to create a legacy that's going to surpass me, but I don't need to ask you for money. I have the triad. I don't market it. It's there. On CryptoTalk.fm, if somebody's curious to understand what's involved in it, if somebody wants to join, they'll join. If they don't, they don't. I don't promote it. I don't advertise it because I don't use this as a primary source of income. You know why I made the decision not to rely on this as a primary source of income? There was a time I thought about it during the pandemic, at the tail end of the pandemic when I started this, November 2021. I decided, you know what, let me get into this thing. And I'll turn on the thing. So I have a tip jar. It's still out there on Now Payments. It's still there on ctronair.net. There's a little tip jar and you can drop five and it's crypto or credit card or whatever. I've never talked about it since I set the damn thing up. I actually forget sometimes it's out there. But at the time I figured, okay, I'll just set up a tip jar. At one point I had a Patreon, believe it or not. I do all these things, but I never heavily advertise them because I realized no matter what, I can't rely on this. This is too fickle. It's too ADD. It's too ADHD. It's too fragile. The industry, I mean, it's too fragile. People are jumping from garbage to garbage. Am I lying? People are just looking for the next pump, quick pump and dump. Am I lying? People are not dedicated to projects like they were. Am I lying? And when they do get dedicated to a project, it's likely going to rug pull them. Am I lying? So I knew I can't rely on this for a consistent. Some of those other ones, sure, go ahead and grift them because trust me, some of the ones with the higher level subs are grifting people, especially when it's a female who's putting sex out there in order to attract and retain people and they have nothing of any quality to put out there into the public. All they're doing is showing ass and tits up on the screen in order to attract and retain people. I don't begrudge them their alternative to OnlyFans where they don't have to get fully naked, but they're putting their body out there on show and they're making good money for that effort or lack of. I don't begrudge them that hustle. I'm saying I was not going to do that because I was not going to essentially pimp myself out just to make a living. I understood I want my own business that's not disrupted by fickle-minded people in cryptocurrency. I wanted my own business that was not disrupted by YouTube and their left-leaning policies. I wanted something that was not biased on, we're anti-Trump, so if you even say the word Trump, you get deprioritized. That actually really happened. So I knew I had to do something that was isolated, make my own stacks. Once I got my own stacks, the show becomes optional for me. But anybody that's listened to me for a while knows I've been on the J-O-B. I've been on it, even when I was driving multiple states over, even when I was stuck in crappy hotels, even when I was sitting in a van, even when all I had was the microphone on my computer instead of my nice high-powered setup that I got now. I was still recording episodes because I wanted to make sure I was consistent with the content that I delivered because I like doing it. The passion that I'm describing, everything that I'm telling you, that's lacking in the rest of the space. And I'm not just talking YouTube now, I'm talking even podcasts, but it's lacking the passion of why you do it. We've come to a world where now the motivation for doing it is primarily around the money that you can make, whether that happens to be YouTube or somebody else, it's around the money that one can make. I am not begrudging them the ability to make money off the channel or off the show. That's not for me to criticize, but I'm going to call out because I'm disappointed to see it. I understand it, but I'm disappointed to see it. Now, here's where I think I can help. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm naive. If you're listening and you come from anybody else's channel, I don't care what the fuck it is. You come from anybody else's channel. You're hearing me. You listen to somebody else on a regular or irregular basis, and you think what I'm about to say is of any help, where else you see it, by all means, share it. I want the smoke. I am not ashamed of anything I'm about to say here. I happened to stumble on Bleez's recent live, Bleez Crypto. He did a live. He had taken a day off. He did a live, and he had announced before that he had gotten hacked, and you know, I knew why, I knew how, I understood what it was. Okay, the thing is, I did an update about Zen Crypto, XCN Crypto, in response to somebody who was coming at me when I said that Zen Crypto's site sucks and it's rife to get hacked. And I told people, if you're using these browser, sketchy browser plugins, chances are it probably would work, but you're putting yourself at risk. So make sure that you revoke rights from the wallet stuff and don't use those sketchy plugins more than anything. That's what I said. And that guy came back and he was talking about, oh, I'm like, no, it doesn't. You're using a sketchy fucking plugin that's going to breach you someday if you're not careful. When Bleez announced this second hack that happened to him, which was halfway the inspiration for my 101 episode, but I'm talking about it here because I tried to reach out to Bleez. He said on the live that he reached out to everybody, quote, and the only person who responded was Pablo Crowe. Bleez never reached out to Leister at CryptoTalk.fm. My theory, and it's only a theory, is when he says he reached out to everyone, he meant he reached out to everyone on X, not realizing that there's people that are not on X that he did not reach out to that likely would have tried to help him. Also, people that have gone to Bleez's live and have been in the chat understand that Leister has given away gifted memberships on two different occasions, thanks to Bone Profits, has gifted on two different occasions. Gifted memberships are easy work for me. Easy. I went on the chat for another episode. This was about a week ago. And before the thing went live, I put in the chat and said, I want to do a contest. When we talk about engagement on YouTube, the greatest thing you can do for engagement is a contest. Because when you're doing a contest to do a giveaway, and it effectively was a giveaway that didn't require the listeners to do anything, it required Bleez to do something. But because it's a contest, it encourages engagement to the people. It encourages them to engage with him. Then it's a free promotional. All you got to do is spread the word to everybody else. Look, we're doing a contest. It doesn't cost him anything. And all you got to do is listen to the show. And the key is YouTube's algorithm, I said on lives, it biases, right? For regular recorded videos, it wants short. When you're live, it wants you to have duration of listen. It wants you to have the people watching live to watch for the duration of the stream. And so it favors you in the algorithm if they click the like, they stay on duration, they're commenting in the chat, they're commenting in the comments box. You get favored up, which promotes you when somebody's doing a search on YouTube for anything related to it. So I already knew that my contest outreach was going to help him just by virtue of the fact that it's a contest that he can promote. I checked back when the live was about to start and my comment was gone. Okay, I figured maybe he doesn't need it. He's sitting on major bags. He doesn't need my contest. He doesn't want it. That's great. No problem. Well, today, right? So I check in and I see this new live and he's explaining basically that he's got to change the show and he's got to bow down to YouTube's algorithms, effectively is what he said. Hey, it's his show. It's his hustle. But I left a comment saying, I've not heard anything of this. This is news to me because I am not on X. I have no idea what the hell's going on, but I can tell you that you did not reach out to CryptoTalk.fm to say, hey, look, I need some help here because I've been trying to get a partnership with Blease for months now, but he doesn't respond. No problem. He didn't need to. I figured he was sitting on bags. He's rich. He doesn't need this. He doesn't need it. Cool. I'm not going to pressure it. But when he said that he reached out to a bunch of what he thought were friends to ask for help, that's his words. He said to ask for help, but I don't get the same outreach. Again, I'm assuming he only reached on X. If he had reached on CryptoTalk.fm, I would have given the same offer I was going to give, which is to do a partnership. I'll tell you the two opportunities that I saw that were easy, low-hanging fruit. Number one, the contest. The contest is low-hanging fruit because I benefit because I'm the sponsor. Any sponsorship of something, so I'm paying money, I'm putting money up out of my pocket for the awareness. As a sponsor, it increases awareness for me to do that for him. I benefit just by I'm spending for that benefit. There's more benefit of doing that than doing a side marketing gig, because ultimately it's a population of people that I know are interested in cryptocurrency, number one. Number two, it's a population of people. Some of them came from Satama, which means they would likely recognize me at least to a partial degree. And number three, I know that if they like Blease, chances are they're going to like my show. It's a win-win. It's a win for him because he gets more eyes on the product if he promotes it, saying that we're going to be doing a contest sponsored by Crypto Talk Radio, founded CryptoTalk.fm. Leister's putting his money up on this one. All you got to do is show up and stay the duration of the show. Then it's on Blease. For this contest, I said he has to make sure that he does X, whatever X is. And I would change what X is. So I'm putting him on the hot seat. It's like the old in the circuses, you know, you got the guy sitting up above a tank of water, and you have to watch and see, can I throw the ball and dunk the guy into the water? That's kind of the concept, right? Is I come up with something else where I'm putting the host on the spot. And if the host passes my test, you guys get gifted memberships. It's essentially free money for just simply doing what I'm asking, which could be, it could be something as simple as a quiz question that I know he can't cheat on. It could be, like, one I wanted to do was around his regular delivery. Do what you're doing, but I want to see if you can deliver it in a way that doesn't do X, Y, Z. Cool, fun, interactive things. Because I've said when he interacts with his chatters, I find it to be more entertaining, which is what I was trying to spur. When I saw it was deleted, okay, cool. This comment I left the other day, I reiterated. I've not heard anything about it. Nobody's reached out to me. The offer's still on the table if you want to reach out and do a partnership, but I've not heard anything about it. The second opportunity for partnership, people may not realize that have listened to Blease, he used to have a podcast, as in podcast. It's still out there on podcast platforms. He abandoned it in favor of the video, you know, and he did the video when he started Keanu. So he went to the video, abandoned the podcast. What I wanted was to him to create a show under CTR. That would be his show, but ultimately I have, you know, 20% stake in whatever happens. Then the flip of this is for my 20%, I'll do the marketing. I'll do the advertisements. I'll be responsible for getting you listed on all the other platforms. I'll handle making sure getting people to listen to the show, because I'll do cross blend and cross brand. And then we both of us reach out and do co-hosting with different people. And there'd be tons of people that would co-host with him. They already have, but we'll start charging for the benefit of co-hosting. Now he makes more money because I'm ultimately getting more and I'm doing the investment to make that happen. But I benefit how? Because it's another show that adds more content to my platform. More content benefits me on the back end. It is okay. The credibility of having Blease on the show with his analysis and how he's talking with these other co-hosts and guests, there's credibility, there's additional content, diversity of content, different flavors of content. And the co-host adds more because the co-host I would choose brings a sex appeal that you can't imagine. It's actually a celebrity, by the way, that I was going to reach out to. All of this was open. That's been waiting. I would love to do that, but he didn't reach out. But when I hear him say that the only person who responded is Pablo Crowe, that doesn't surprise me, because the one thing I've never said about Blease is he's too trusting. It's what he is. He's too trusting. And that trust led to the breach. That trust led to the terrarium situation, that led to the Lillian situation. His trust led to a lot of these fallouts, which for me, I don't blind trust any of the frickin' projects. I don't. But the one thing is, I've always said, I'm all about business. If we want to make a business deal, it doesn't matter about the rest of the things. So one can continue down the path where you're just trusting these blindly because you're a trusting person and, you know, having this type of stuff happen, or you just partner up with somebody that I have no incentive to take anything from him whatsoever, or I'm not launching a token, right? That's the key. I'm not launching a token. I thought about it. I considered it. I still am considering it. I'm holding off for the regulatory environment. But the bottom line is, I'm not trying to launch a token that's going to rip people off or that I would, quote, pump. It's all about the outside spectrum. Remember, I have senators that listen to the show. I am trying to inform. I'm trying to educate, not try to grift. I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that. That's why I love that I have my own business off the side. And to me, that's good money, not dirty money. So my subject of my show today is not to place blame or attack or denigrate or insult. It is to simply clarify. No one has ever reached out to Crypto Talk Radio, founded Crypto Talk Today, except for the CEO of HODL Token, the CEO of ETHJETS, Mr. Josh Segala. Those are the three. And then there's one other person, but she was on the casual talk side, not the crypto talk, but she expressed an interest in the crypto talk, and I was going to reach out to her about that because she's interested in it. That's it. The rest don't. You know why? Because the rest are in the bubble. And that is unfortunate because you see people that you know are in their hearts good people get shaded, or what is it? Rinsed, I think is the term the kids say now. Rinsed because they're trusting and they trust. That's up to them. I can't force their hand. I can't force them to accept help. I only say, so you hear me and listen loud and clear, hear me. I have my own stuff going. Crypto is nothing to me. If I didn't have it, it wouldn't matter. I've gone long stints without any sort of benefit because at the end of it, something will happen, but it's a gambling. It's a casino at this point. I'm not really a gambler to that degree anyway, not when I know the game is rigged. When I know the game is rigged, I'm less likely to play the same rules. I create my own rules. And for me, that was, you know what? Let me just go get some fiat up over here. Use that fiat over here. There was an article, and I may do an out of cycle about this one because I thought it was intriguing. I'm closing here. There was an article about some of these mining companies, you know, that they were, a lot of their money that they were investing was around getting more mining rigs for Bitcoin, mining more Bitcoin so that they can flip it, right? Now what they're doing is they're investing crap tons of money. They're not dropping mining, but they're not heavily investing in the mining side. What they're instead doing is they're investing in data centers. So the actual hardware that runs computing and then use the profit. So let's say if I rent a rack of servers or something to a company, which is brilliant, by the way, use the proceeds of what I get from these businesses to buy Bitcoin and then use that for profit. See, that is smart. That's the one thing that MicroStrategy did very well, is they're getting out of the bubble. They're understanding that the real world of money, fiat, is not going any damn where. And we have to absorb it from the people that are stacking it and holding it and then use that to increase our positions on the cryptocurrency side for the later rush. We've been doing it wrong. We've been doing it backwards all this time. People have been training you on YouTube and elsewhere. They've been training you that the key is to throw all your crap into cryptocurrency and say, screw fiat. When the real money is to find a way to make the fiat in such a form that you can use it to stack more crypto on the sly. And you just sit on it and don't think about it. You forget it. It's off of the corner. It's not your focus. It's not the primary. The primary is I'm hustling over here. Every day I'm hustling over here in whatever it is you do. Make that money. Use that money. Stack more crypto and repeat the cycle. It starts with the J-O-B, whatever that is. Start your own job. Drive an Uber. Drive a Lyft. Whatever that is. That focus of draining the money from those orgs and other third parties and then using that to increase your position in cryptocurrency. That's the direction of it. All I wanted to do is help people do that because I've already been doing it. I already have my own stuff. I make the money over there. I don't need cryptocurrency. That's the beauty of my position. I don't need it. I stack it, but it's not the, it doesn't drive me. It doesn't run me. I can use then my experiences to help other people, understanding they don't have the money I do. But the key is they could have a slice of the money that I make by simply partnering with me. That's what I'm talking about. You take and you share, profit share, use that, stack your cryptocurrency on the side. But the regular routine business, that's where everybody else has it fucked up. They've dropped the ball. They don't want to do the routine business anymore because they got sold on a myth. It's a myth. It's a game show, right? It's a clown show is what it is. They were sold on that. That's the world, and it's not the world. It's just a casino that you're walking into every now and then, rolling the dice, hoping you strike it big. But in the meantime, you still got to go to work. Work can be whatever you want it to be. You can still run your own business and work with somebody else who runs their own business, and you profit share, and you take some of the profits, and you go and stack some cryptocurrency, and at some point, it's going to run. And then you take that, and you turn it back into something else. That's how the rich get richer. It's not cryptocurrency. It's never going to be. The ones who got rich on crypto got lucky. They were at the right time and they got lucky on it. Bottom line, every last one of them will tell you that. And some of them weren't lucky. Some of them made stupid decisions where they could have been billionaires and they only ended up millionaires. They're not complaining, but the point is they made the same stupid decisions. And so now others have sold you, the media too, on that as the vision. And that's the dream. And it's not the dream. It's a joke. To me, all I'm saying, I took a different route. That route may not work for you. Cool. I understand. I'm not suggesting that you do what I'm doing. I'm suggesting that I represent an opportunity. I always have. When I extend that branch, like think about it. If you had a chance to work with Bill Gates, who's right now he's on the nonprofit side, but you had a chance to work with Bill Gates and he said, all you got to do is call me, man, and I'll pay you $1 million a year. Are we seriously saying we're going to ignore that person? I'm not saying I'll pay somebody $1 million a year. I'm saying that when you have somebody who's willing to offer you money in exchange for work services performed, and you just completely blindly ignore and don't respond, think about it. Why does that make any sense? You are shooting off your own foot. Cool. I don't believe in guns to that degree. I believe in opportunities. Opportunities come when you're smarter about where the money really is and you stop playing the game that is cryptocurrency until you have so much money that it really truly becomes a game. People like a Tony Khan on AEW who's just playing with his dad's money, he's investing in a business, a losing business, but he's investing in the business that he partners with other people. He's on the business side. I would like to aspire to be that type of person where it's F money. I can throw it and not care. That's where I want to be. Crypto's not going to get you there. Not without significant investment, I should say. So do what you want to do. It's your money. It's your life. It's your career. It's everything you. You have the power. Take nothing else away from what I just said here in today's episode. Take one thing. When you're presented with an opportunity, when you're presented with a chance that's outside the bubble, when you're presented with a chance to make some money, when you're presented with an opportunity to recoup something, take it. Don't ignore it. Don't overlook it. Don't skip it. Don't hide from it. Don't duck it. Take it. Because those opportunities are far and few in between, especially now. And remember, sometimes those opportunities are once in a lifetime. And that is the real gamble. That's the real casino. That's the real risk to take, to roll and win it big, especially when it's a gimme and it's being given to you versus completely random.